Translation. Yadadhar Pandit, the fourth branch, is described as an incarnation of the pleasure potency of Sri Krishna. No one therefore can equal him. Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. In the Gaura Ganadesha Dipika, verse 147 through to 153, it is stated the pleasure potency of Sri Krishna, formerly known as Vrindavan Ishwari, is now personified in the form of Sri Gadadhar Pandit in the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sri Swarup Damodar Goswami has pointed out that in the shape of Lakshmi, the pleasure potency of Krishna, she was formerly very dear to the Lord as Shyamasundara Vallabha. The same Shyamasundara Vallabha is now present as Gadadhar Pandit. Formerly as Alita Shakhi, she was always devoted to Srimati Radharani. In the 12th chapter of this part of Chaitanya Charitamrita, there is a description of the descendants of disciplic succession of Gadadhar Pandit. Om Aganti Mirandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Padakamalam Sri Gurum Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sarjatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakam Vitamscha He Krishna Nando Jagatpate Gopisha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchanda Gorangi Radhe Vrindavanishwari Rishavanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Vayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Sri Vasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So the Lord has multifarious potencies. Parasha Shakti Rividaiva Surite. In fact, everything in creation is just an expansion of Krishna's energies. And so we can understand the nature of the word Maya when we see Maya means that which is not. And so the nature of this material world is the world of Durga Devi or the world of Maya. And everyone in this world is seeing everything as a separate energy of the, not even as a separate energy of the Supreme Lord, but as an energy with no relationship. And so Prabhupada explains that this is a natural condition of a conditioned soul that is in that mentality, and therefore, due to that lack of contact, there's one material misery after another. And so the nature of this movement is to re-establish that relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And so these books by Prabhupada are the essence of our philosophy, that they're giving us an understanding of the philosophy so that we can give that to everybody. And the basic thing that we have to understand is that we're all Krishna. That's a controversial saying, isn't it? A lot of people might be happy about that. But actually, what does that really mean? That we're all Krishna's energy, Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva. We're Krishna's energy, but we're still individuals. And so this is the nature of spiritual life, is to understand we're individuals. On the battlefield of Kurukshetra, in the 11th verse, Krishna says that neither you, nor me, nor all these kings shall ever cease to exist, nor in the future shall we ever cease to be. And so, for a person who doesn't understand anything about Mayavad philosophy, it makes complete sense. Arjuna's in a situation where he doesn't know anything. He's completely bewildered. Krishna's taken away, or Krishna's put over him, his yogamaya potency, and therefore he's in the frame of mind of a conditioned soul. So now Krishna's speaking to him, the Bhagavad Gita. So how would you're in that situation, if somebody told you that, how would you relate to it? What would it mean? Neither you, nor me, nor all these kings shall ever cease to be, now or in the future. What would that mean? That we'd all become one? Would anybody think like that? Nobody would think like that. But most people do think like that now. So Prabhupada says we should avoid this Mayavad philosophy. It's our very nature to think like that in the material world, to think we're the supreme. And so right in the beginning of the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna's making at this point that we're all eternal individual particles of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So we have deities now of Radha Krishna, and in the Bhaktivedanta manner we have Sita Ram, Lakshman, Hanuman and Gaur-Nitai. And there's also another set of deities called Panchatattva. And so Lord Chaitanya particularly appeared with the Panchatattva to make this point about personalism. That in the relationship with the Panchatattva, there's so many different relationships with his devotees. And so this is the antidote to this Mayavad philosophy. Nobody can explain Panchatattva and remain a Mayavadi. I remember when I first started visiting the Manchester Temple, and it was Ranshaw. Ranshaw was running a program in the university, and then he moved out. Then he started running the program in his home in Northenden, I think it was. And so he told me one weekend, he says, why don't you go to Chaitanya College, and there you'll get the benefit of the association of devotees, you get the benefit of, you know, Mahaprasadam and seeing the deities. And so that weekend, Sri Sri Radha Gokulananda Ki Jai. So that weekend, I decided to go, and everything worked out according to what he told me. I got prasadam, and then I was taken to see the deities, and I'd not done too much reading up on Vaishnava philosophy. And I was shocked when I went in the temple room, because there was four people on the altar, and the one on the end had got a beard. So I was completely thrown off guard. But eventually the devotees explained to me, this is actually Panchatattva. And then I looked up, and above them was another set of deities. That was Jagannath Baladev Subhadra. And so this is a very strange introduction to deity worship. I was thinking of everybody, you know, we worship Radha Krishna. So yes, they develop this personal, that the whole Chaitanya Chaitamrita actually is about this reciprocation with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It's called the postgraduate study of Vaishnava philosophy. We read Bhagavad Gita and we get to understand the basic philosophy. And we ongoingly read Bhagavad Gita so that, you know, we don't become bewildered. But in order to, you know, feel that how that philosophy is applied, we read Srimad Bhagavatam. And we see how Krishna's devotees are reciprocating with Krishna in different ways, or with his Vishnu form, or their activities in the Srimad Bhagavatam, and they're putting the philosophy into practice. So this is all coming up to the point of understanding Krishna. Then in the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, we hear about Krishna and his pastimes in the spiritual world, and we become attracted to that. But then Chaitanya goes one stage further. He goes into the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya. And so Lord Chaitanya, here in these branches of Lord Chaitanya tree, as this particular section is called, is showing how he reciprocates with his different parts and parcels. If we go through the Chaitanya Charitamrita, people like to read it. Have you noticed? Bhagavad Gita, you know, one or two readings and we understand it, you know. And then the Srimad Bhagavatam, we can go through that a few times because the stories. But Chaitanya Charitamrita, you know, we can keep reading and reading and reading. Because these pastimes are relevant to us. You know, this is what we're looking for in this world. We're looking for, what's the word? Nourishment. Spiritual nourishment. You know, they're presenting at this time of year so many types of nourishment. You know, at Christmas, trying to nourish the living entities for some ulterior motive, of course. But we're really looking for that spiritual nourishment. So Chaitanya Charitamrita is giving us that. So in here we have Gadadhar Pandit. Gadadhar Pandit's the internal potency of the Lord. And he said that Gadadhar Pandit was never away from Lord Chaitanya. He was always keeping him company. So this is the counterpart of Srimati Radharani in the spiritual world. So we can understand how dear Lord Krishna was to Gadadhar Pandit. So much so that when Gadadhar Pandit, he was living in Jagannath Puri. And at some point he took Kshetra Sannyas. So Kshetra Sannyas means that you don't move away from that particular spot where you're living. You know, you take the renounced order of life, but, you know, you stay in one place. And so Lord Chaitanya was going to, he was bidding farewell to all his devotees in Jagannath Puri, and he was going to go to Bengal. And so Gadadhar Pandit had made his mind up that he was going to go with him. And so there's a bit of difficulty here, because he took Kshetra Sannyas, he shouldn't. And Lord Chaitanya understood his motive, he understood what he was going to do. He said, "You stay here." He says, "You've took Kshetra Sannyas, and if you come with me, I'll be defamed. You won't be following your vows." And so Gadadhar Pandit started to argue with him. He said, "Look, wherever you go," he says, "that's where the real Kshetra is. So, you know, I can worship Gopinath through you." He says, this is far more auspicious. And anyway, the arguments went on, and eventually Gadadhar said, "Look, I won't go with you, and I won't defame you, but I'll go on my own." So he started to go a different path, and he travelled alone. But at some point along the way to Bengal, they met up again. And Lord Chaitanya, it's nice how he spoke to him. Even though this particular servant of his had not really followed his instructions, he says, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami said, he still acted in a loving relationship, although he told him that he was in the wrong. And he took him to one side and said, and he repeated his instructions. And eventually Gadadhar Pandit knew that he had to do what Lord Chaitanya wanted. And so he left Gadadhar Pandit in the care of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, and they both went back to Jagannath Puri. So here we learn that, you know, to follow instructions is very important. Even the Lord's counterpart, Gadadhar Pandit, is bound to follow instructions. On the higher platform, Lord Chaitanya was very pleased with Gadadhar Pandit for his affection, that he didn't want to leave him. So this is the inner, but for external practice, for external teaching, he wanted him to return and show his obedience to the order of his superior, and also to keep the Vedic scriptures intact. Kshetra Sanyas should not leave that place. And it's explained by Bhaktivinoda Thakur that this type of when we take vanaprastha in this age, usually vanaprastha means uprooting our particular situation and going and living in the forest, eating berries, very austere life. And so Bhaktivinoda Thakur made an interesting comment. He said, in this age, we don't do that. He says, vanaprastha means that we stay, which is equal to Kshetra Sanyas. We take Kshetra Sanyas. We develop our spiritual understanding and our spiritual, we develop our spiritual life after we've raised the family in our own location. Of course, that, you know, we do see devotees do travel to Vrindavan and Mayapur, but not so much. What is the practical application of this teaching by Bhaktivinoda Thakur? If everybody's travelling all over the place trying to rejuvenate the spiritual life and become advanced, it means we don't do any preaching. Eventually maybe we come back to that point. But if we stay in one area, how's this movement developing? It means that, you know, it's becoming more congregationalised. So therefore it's, you know, people who've been practicing devotional service through their married life and their experience, then they're the devotees who can really ground this movement and make it expand. Bhaktivinoda Thakur ki jai. So another pastime of Pundarik Vidyanidhi. He Lord Chaitanya was shouting out the name of Pundarik Vidyanidhi, and the tears were flowing from down his face. And everybody was, who's this Pundarik? And so Gadadhar Pandit was very interested, said, who's having such an effect on Lord Chaitanya? I want to see this person. He must be a very advanced devotee. And so Mukunda, he understood Gadadhar's mentality. And so he says, come with me, I'll take you to see Pundarik Vidyanidhi. Of course, Pundarik Vidyanidhi is one of the most elevated devotees of Lord Chaitanya. But in that pastime, he was taking the part of a very opulent, advanced person in material life. And so when Mukunda took Gadadhar in to see Pundarik Vidyanidhi, Pundarik Vidyanidhi described how he was laid on a bedstead of four posts with gold embroidery, and there was a spittoon there, and he was eating grapes, and he was spitting out the pips into this spittoon, and there were marble floor, and it was so opulent, it was unbelievable. And so when Gadadhar Pandit saw this, and Mukunda looked at him, he couldn't understand his mind. How can he be a devotee of Lord Chaitanya? Renunciation is a basic principle which nourishes the lives of Lord Chaitanya's devotees. When Lord Chaitanya sees that renunciation, he's extremely pleased. So it seemed like the opposite. And so Mukunda then he started to recite some esoteric verses from the Shastras about Krishna's relationship with his devotees. And immediately Pundarik Vidyanidhi, he fell off the bedstead just like a log. And he started rolling over around. He was breaking all the furniture. He was kicking everything inside. It took seven men to hold him down. And then at this point, Gadadhar Pandit understood that this person's actually advanced. So then, what do we do when somebody defeats us? We argue like anything. Is that right? We're going to defeat him somehow or other. No, he surrendered to him. This is the process. And how did he show that surrender? He became his disciple. In this age, it's not like that. We have a little bit more work to do when to make somebody into a disciple. But this is Lord Chaitanya's special mercy. I thought I'd move on a little bit. Srimati Radharani, she's servant. She's the best servant. And so we're all in the mood of Srimati Radharani. Devotional service means like Lord Chaitanya said, we're not any particular caste, creed or any part of the Varnashram. We may be on that platform for activities in devotional service, but in our heart, if we maintain that mood of Krishna and Nitya Das, Das Dasana Das, then devotional service is possible. We can make rapid advancement. We can overcome all obstacles. And so Gadadhara Pandit is an example of that. So the best servants, what's the best servant of the Lord? Our best servant of the spiritual master. You tell him 10 times and he does what he wants. This is one servant. The next one is you tell him 10 times and he does what you say. The next one is you tell him once and he does what's supposed to be done. But the best servant is one who, what's the best servant? He knows the heart, he knows the mood. I mentioned this in the last class about the Bhagavad Gita saying that Krishna tells us not to disturb ourselves, just engage in devotional service. Don't try and, you know, make somebody into a devotee who doesn't want to be a devotee. So that means we wouldn't make any devotees. But, you know, the devotee is more kind than the Lord. He understands the heart of the Lord. So therefore he preaches. So this is the best servant. The best servant understands what the Lord really wants him to do, and without even being told, he goes about that activity. So I was thinking about who's the best servant of Lord Chaitanya in modern day times. Prabhupada, yeah. When he was in Mayapur, they did a little bit of a... It was... What's the name of the scholar, Swaroop? Damn it, not Swaroop. Ravindra Swaroop. About 4 or 5 years ago, the GBC, they commissioned Ravindra Swaroop, because he's a scholar, to do some work on Prabhupada's position. Prabhupada's position in ISKCON, or Prabhupada's ultimate position. And so he did a lot of research work. He went many years into the past in Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakura's time. And he came up with a book called, I forgot what they call it actually, Prabhupada, Founder Acharya. And so, so why are we talking about this? Because this particular chapter is speaking about the branches of Lord Chaitanya's tree. It's talking about the disciplic succession. So Srila Prabhupada is our link with the disciplic succession. And so therefore it behoves us to fully understand Prabhupada's position. We see now, even after only a few years after he's left, there's so many splinters going on. You know, Vic following somebody else who's, you know, the successor to Prabhupada. How do we get so bewildered like that? You know, not long ago, only a few years ago, we read Prabhupada's books and we were completely convinced this person is my saviour. All I want to do for the rest of my life is serve this person. And then a few short years down the road, we start getting bewildered by so many, you know, other factions. So, you know, it's important to understand Prabhupada's position, and then we don't become bewildered. So this is why they commissioned Ravindra Swaroop to do this. So it's a long time since I read through this, so I'm a bit rusty, but I made a few notes as I read through that book. And what was the reason that Prabhupada started this movement? That's the beginning. And it says that, and here I put down two main reasons, is that, you know, the servants of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakura, they didn't follow Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakura's instructions. As we all know, he said that we should form a governing body to run this movement, work combinedly, and then this movement will go on. And immediately after Prabhupada left, two factions formed. One was the Chaitanya Mat, in Calcutta, and another mat in Mayapur. And Prabhupada said a few years ago, that just before he left, he says they're still arguing now on who should actually run the movement. What's happened to the movement? What's happened to the Gaudiya Mart? Is it a vibrant preaching force? They may be preaching to the locals, but it's not going much more than that. And so Prabhupada could see that these people are not following the instruction of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Some may be, you know, because later on we'll find that his god brothers were thinking that he was trying to usurp Bhaktisiddhanta's position. But no, this is the original reason. And so he went to undergo great austerity, great difficulty to start a movement on his own. And eventually he he managed to come to the West after so many difficulties. And when he started to preach, he wrote back to his godbrother Keshava Maharaj, and he was all the time trying to engage the Gaudiya Mat to help him in the preaching movement. He hadn't given up on them. It's not that he wanted to be a lone star, a shooting star. And so here it says that let's have a look. He wanted to start a temple. First thing he thought, start a temple, get some solid basis for preaching in New York. And so at that time, Keshava Maharaj was in the mat in Bombay, and Bombay is the seat of the Marwari businessmen. And so they're some of the best businessmen in the world. And he thought, he's got these people under his thumb. And if I ask him, and he reciprocates, we can build a temple, no problem. And so Prabhupada wrote to Keshava Maharaj to help him. He said, to fulfill the will of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, you have these businessmen under your thumb. Please engage them in this service. He never got a reply. Now one may think that, okay, he's just asking for money. Why should they reply? I mean, it's a superficial understanding. And so later on, when Prabhupada started to develop the movement, and he started developing centres in San Francisco, he wrote back again to Keshava Maharaj. And he said that, you are my elder godbrother. You know, you were well learned in this philosophy. Please come and assist me in spreading this movement. He says, you can actually take over the movement and I'll serve you. That was Prabhupada's mood. Still, no reply. So then Prabhupada knew that he was on his own. He had no alternative but to, you know, just work with the devotees that he'd made and the situation he'd created. And so Prabhupada understood that there was going to be some difficulty in that, you know, when you're part of a movement in India, and it's always, you know, he could understand the mood of his godbrothers. They weren't into preaching, but yet they were still connected. He was a godbrother. He was in the Gaudiya Mat. So Prabhupada, he wanted to make a situation where, you know, the movement couldn't be usurped and run by people who weren't interested in preaching or for their own purpose. And this is always, you know, in India the laws are very, 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 very intricate. So Prabhupada decided to form, to create a situation where he was called the founder acharya of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Now, when he was writing his books in his early days, there were all kinds of names put on top of the books. Sometimes it was, anyway, you name it, and he went on the top of the book. It was hardly ever, what's the full title that should be there? Srila Prabhupada, founder acharya of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Sometimes Srila Prabhupada, acharya of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Sometimes it's A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. They're all different titles. So why establish A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, founder acharya of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness? Because there's actually deep meaning in this. In that there are four sampradayas. I think I've got them down here. Four sampradayas. There's the Rudra sampradaya. This is the oldest. And Rudra Sampradaya, the founder Acharya, or the Acharya for the Rudra Sampradaya is Vishnu Swami. That means founder Acharya in this age of Kali, in this modern age. It existed before 5,000 years ago. So the preacher in this age is Vishnu Swami. And they taught exclusive dependence on Krishna and the path of Raga Bhakti, the high esteem of the gopis' love for Krishna. Then came the Kumara Sampradaya. And in this age of Kali, the founder Acharya is Nimbarka. So he's preaching this for time, place and circumstance. The philosophy is already existing, but in order to, you know, make this philosophy understandable for people of the age of Kali, Nimbarka adjusted it and preached. And their particular teaching is necessity of taking shelter of Radharani. Then there's the Sri Sampradaya, and the founder Acharya for that is Ramanujacharya, also in the age of Kali. Bhakti, unpolluted by karma and jnana and service to the devotees. And then the fourth Sampradaya. We're talking about the tree of Lord Chaitanya, so we're on the right page. It's a Brahma Sampradaya. So who's the Madhavacharya? And he appeared to uproot the Mayavadis and establish worship of the deity. And so Prabhupada, in one respect, these are founder Acharyas. Founder Acharyas. So what has Prabhupada done by calling himself founder Acharya? It's quite obvious, isn't it? It means that nobody else, he's the founder Acharya of this movement. Anybody who comes from anywhere outside, they're not connected to this movement in the same way anymore. Does that make sense? Does anybody disagree? Anybody bewildered? Yeah, it's very philosophical. And so this is why Prabhupada did it. And the results of it, of his devotees not understanding this point of his real position, was shown when Brahmananda, when they were printing his books, he brought Prabhupada a book, and I think it was a new Krishna book, or anyway, and Prabhupada looked at the book and he picked it up, and all the binding fell apart and all the pages fell out. And then he looked at the heading and it said Prabhupada, founder Acharya, or something like that. He didn't even say that, he was so... And what did Prabhupada discern from that? What does that mean? Don't mean anything, does it? Does it? So what? Well, Prabhupada saw neglect. And he could understand by that neglect that he was being minimised. And when he saw his name wasn't fully written, like he'd so many times asked him to do, he understood that there was some... You know, there wasn't a proper mood in the movement at that time. And then later, Brahmananda, we went to Prabhupada and he said, actually, I was becoming envious of you. So he confirmed Prabhupada's. and then later on, of course, it manifested again in New Vrindavan, where some sannyasis started preaching that Prabhupada was the Supreme Lord, in other words, Mayavad philosophy. So it's very important that we follow... Well, that we become actual devotees or disciples, and we follow properly in these details. These details are very important. So to the degree that we follow properly, to that degree, the movement goes on unchanged. So there's a few things I'd like to speak about the tree of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And so we have. So Prabhupada just established so many things. He had so many priorities. First thing was to found the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. That was his first milestone. And this was started in New York, 26 Second Avenue. At that time, Prabhupada's vision for the movement The vision of the devotees who were coming to see Prabhupada at that time, that it'll never go outside 26 Second Avenue. You know, there's probably a couple of dozen of them coming from the, for class on Monday, Wednesdays and Fridays, I think it was. And, they were enjoying Prabhupada's association, Prabhupada's cooking. And then one day after the class, Prabhupada said, "So, Mr. Goldstein, now you can do your business." And everybody looked round, this very well-dressed person came in, not like the rest of them. And he says, I can take names now. He says, "Yes, you can take." And then so Prabhupada says, so-and-so, you can become, what they call them? Trustee. You can become trustees for the first year. And everybody looking at one another, what's going on? So-and-so, you can become trustees for the second year. And so-and-so, you can become trustees for the third year. And Mukunda Maharaj, Mike at that time, he said, I just wanted to help Swamiji out. So I signed, I didn't know what I was signing. He says, this was the beginning of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. So similarly, we have to be like that. We have to see that, you know, things need organizing. Things need planning. Start now while we're small. So that was the first thing Prabhupada established, ISKCON. We've just been talking about the recognition of Prabhupada's position and making sure his position went on all literatures, so there was no doubt. Then Prabhupada established, and what was the next thing? Anybody like to have a guess? GBC. Then he had to found a GBC body. Then what was the next one? Important milestone. Hey? BBT? No. Land in Mayapur. Get land in Mayapur. This is going to be the hub of this movement, the preaching hub for the whole world. And so he sent Tamal Krishna Goswami. Whenever there was any, he was a troubleshooter. Whenever there was a difficult task, he was given it. He was, I don't know whether it was on this particular occasion, but Prabhupada invited him for lunch. And so, you know, he was very happy to. And Prabhupada started serving him personally. And, he was ecstatic. Then he started thinking, wait a minute. He was serving him all the best preparations. Just when he finished one preparation, there was another, some more of that preparation there. And so he started to lose his appetite. And then Prabhupada set him on this task, he wanted him to go to Mayapur and obtain land. Has anybody tried to do anything in India? It's like, even before you're just thinking about it, it's like... And so he had to go to Mayapur and deal with, people who, to say the least, they don't know, they don't present things as they are, you know what I mean? But anyway, eventually he got the land, and Prabhupada was waiting up for him when Kamal Krishna Goswami came. He saw Prabhupada's light was still on, it was late at night, and he came into the room, a little knock. Prabhupada shouted him in, and he came in and paid his obeisances. He said, "Prabhupada, the land's yours." And Prabhupada was ecstatic. He embraced him. So this was very dear to Prabhupada. And one more thing. They're doing it now in Mayapur. Eh? The Vedic Planetarium, they're building the temple there. So what we got to achieve in the future? Vrindavan Viswarup gives some idea of what we need to progress. Any educated guesses here? We don't guess. When, once Rayinandan, usually we don't guess, but I'm offering some educated guesses here. Rayinandan, he was once on a morning walk with Prabhupada, and Prabhupada was talking about something, and Rayinandan was thinking, "Prabhupada, I think..." Prabhupada said, "You think?" So we don't use it, but this is... We've been sort of being banded about lately. So, you know, with a little bit of intelligence, we can work out what Prabhupada wanted us to do. Well, one of the Prabhupada disciples said to Prabhupada when he was sick, what was that? What was the last one? No. That, we do need that, yeah. Definitely. But, when Prabhupada was just about to leave, or just before he left, he said, Prabhupada, I'll take your place and I'll give you my youth. And Prabhupada started chuckling. He says, no, he says, you do as I say, and that's how the way things will go on. You, and then he made that famous quote, after I've gone, your love for me will be shown by how you'll cooperate when I leave this world. So cooperation. You know, just like the Gaudiya Math made a mess of things, and Prabhupada had to do it alone. So now when Prabhupada's gone, we have to learn to cooperate. So this is what the GBC are doing now, they're working on it. They're working on how we can actually go forward, and they're really pulling out all the stops. So we should follow in their footsteps. Yeah. So we need to bring in real peace and unity in the movement. So usually one person can do this, isn't it? When we've got a good leader, everybody has to. They don't have to think. That's what it really means. When you've got a good leader, we just do what he says. When we've got, he's the bottom line. We'll try and work it out, but if we can't work it out, we go to the leader. And this is what Prabhupada's position was actually, that, you know, everything ultimately rested on Prabhupada. But now Prabhupada isn't here, we have to, learn how to deal with things without his association, our personal association. So this means unity. So this needs organisation and intelligence. So Prabhupada made a point that he's actually the soul of ISKCON. Right? He's the soul of ISKCON. He says, so we satisfy the soul, we satisfy the Prabhupada by following his instructions. Wait a minute. There's a philosophical point here and I can't remember it. Anyway, so we'll leave that one. But yeah, Prabhupada's left the movement in charge of the GBC, and so the GBC's particular function is to they're responsible both spiritually and managerially for this movement, and they're starting to organise the ongoing running of the movement. So this is when things are organised, then things can only be organised when there's cooperation. And what do we need to be able to cooperate? Yeah, and how do we become dedication to Prabhupada, the soul of ISKCON? That was the point. And where does that come from? From nurturing our own spiritual life. You know, first we have to feel nourished. We have to feel strong in devotional service and satisfied. When we are satisfied, then other people will automatically be attracted. And when we're nourished, then we're actually philosophically sound, then we can cooperate. And then when we cooperate, we have to be advanced actually. To cooperate, then things can expand. So Prabhupada said he wanted, in that book, he says the next stage is that previously we had the zonal acharyas, and what happened? Things in each zone, things were going so well. There was so much service being done. They were like a competition. If you went into that zone, that acharya was like, say, running everything, and you know, devotees were really cooperating together. So now we don't have that. We're finding out that that's not the way things are going to work. Prabhupada says, so the next test is that we'll have many, many leaders, many, many gurus. Guru leadership, this is becoming a problem. So at the same time, we should have that individual leadership and spiritual guidance, but the movement should be united. This is the next test in ISKCON. To work with so many leaders, but work as one. So how are we going to do that? We have to think as one, don't we? We have to have a common understanding of what we're trying to achieve in with this movement, either locally, individually, or collectively as a bigger organisation, Yatra-wise or global-wise. So this is the branches of Lord Chaitanya's tree. Our responsibility is to make sure those branches go on, make sure it remains healthy. So this is the by reading this book at Founder Charity of ISKCON, we'll get a good understanding in how we can cooperate and function in this movement in order to fulfil the desires of Srila Prabhupada and Lord Chaitanya and the Founder of Acharyas. So we've got a few minutes left. If anybody wants to make any comments or ask any questions.